Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In the summer of 1984, the Chicago Bulls drafted a young shooting guard out of North Carolina named Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Jordan would go on to win Rookie of the Year, changed the shoe industry forever, et cetera, et cetera. 3 years later, with the fifth pick in the 1987 draft, the Chicago Bulls selected Scottie Maurice Pippen out of Central Arkansas, and so began one of the finest partnerships in NBA history, if not the finest. For the lion's share of the next decade, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen would run roughshod over the league with defensive excellence and an offensive firepower rarely seen in the league. Six NBA titles, six parades, six Larry O'Brien trophies, teammates, champions, brothers in arms. The names Jordan and Pippen would be, have been, will be inextricably linked forever. And then last year, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife started dating Michael Jordan's second-born son. Yikes. This is First Bout. Welcome to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. If they're good enough, they have to be good enough. The First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast is brought to you by the Ball is Life Podcast Network. Follow Ball is Life at Ball is Life on all platforms. Support Ball is Life, because they support your boy. Who's your boy? It's me, Neil. I'm your host, the long-lost Gasol brother, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, half Filipino, half hollowbred. I'm also known as the Reebok Pump God, the Motor City Cobra. I'm not the biggest Lakers fan. I'm the best Lakers fan. Mr. Not Always Right, but Never Ever Wrong. Coming to you live from the Shaquille O'Neal Office Depot, big and tall, executive suite, desk chair, Jordan Pippen, part two, the sequel. It's a crazy sports adjacent moment, but is it a First Ballot Hall of Famer? We have to decide that today, and here to do it with me is a talented woman you need to know. She writes a very popular weekly sports gossip and culture newsletter called Impersonal Foul. Imagine if Bravo and ESPN had a baby. That's Impersonal Foul. Without further ado, please welcome the very smart, the witty, Madeline Hill. Madeline, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. What a lovely introduction.
Let's set a baseline here, just because I need to get to know you. The audience needs to get to know you. We're talking ESPN Bravo. I need to set a baseline. Do you have a reality show Mount Rushmore? Can you think of the four best reality shows you've ever seen in your life?
Oh, I think I could probably easily do that. Number one, Real Housewives, the franchise, all the franchises. Okay. But I think in particular, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I've never seen anything, Salt Lake City.
Oh. Salt Lake City is what happens when a bunch of non-media trained Midwestern rich women get a Bravo show. They're now probably media trained, but it is the weirdest mix. Like, one of the women who's not on it anymore, she was married to her step-grandfather. Like, the weirdest. It is like, it's like an HBO drama that you couldn't write. And their last season finale, I just recommend to all your listeners, if they don't watch a show, just Google Real Housewives of Salt Lake City finale. There is a moment that is like, an Alfred Hitchcock movie could not, like, it couldn't even compare. It is the most incredible television I've ever seen. So that's for sure number one.
That's a fantastic first answer. I've seen comments on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but having never seen it. And again, I want to say that my wife is like a big, I don't want to just make this about my wife. I've watched them too. I'll watch it with her. We do a little exchange. I get to watch the Lakers whenever they're on, and she gets to watch some of these things when they're on. She is sort of a New York, New Jersey, Orange County, like sort of the original sort of raft of shows. And when I heard, when we heard Salt Lake City was getting one, in my head, I go, well, what's interesting about people in Salt Lake City? They're all going to be white, Mormonish type people. I don't mean to assign labels here, but in my head, I'm like, that's not going to be interesting. But you're right. If you're in Salt Lake City, you know nothing about this business and what this business is going to do to you. So maybe they were fodder for the cannon.
Yes, I think that's probably true. And I think the fact that they are mostly, not all, a bunch of Mormon white women is what's fascinating about it, because I'm not religious,
right,
but I am fascinated by Mormonism. To me, it feels like such a weird niche community that we know nothing about. And then add another layer of it's Mormon women who want to be housewives on a Bravo show.
That
is an even more particular subset of women in Salt Lake City that I think is what makes it so appealing. So I would say that is number one.
Okay.
I would say second would be The Hills / Laguna Beach.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Because to me, that is the first reality show that felt scripted. But well, Laguna Beach was first, and then obviously The Hills was a spinoff. And I think it was such an interesting point in pop culture history during like the kind of Us Weekly era, like people going to Kitson in LA, if any of your listeners are familiar with that store, eating Sprinkles cupcakes, like when you're photographed eating a cupcake as a celebrity. So for me, like that was like a critical part of my pop culture upbringing were those shows.
And the visual change on The Hills too, like when they, that really impacted the business for quite a while.
Oh yeah. And just like how they shot it and like they would do all these reshoots. And like, that is now, I feel like, I don't work in reality TV, but like, I think a lot of how they shoot those shows is now how they shoot all these other new reality shows.
I
don't know if you remember a very famous moment on The Hills was when Lauren Conrad was ending her friendship with Heidi Montag, the famed Spidey, half of the Spidey couple. And she says, I want to forgive you and I want to forget you. And a single mascara tear rolls down her face.
You
can make it up, and I'm sure it was made up, but you can't make it up. You know what I mean? Like,
Why did you call them the Spidey couple?
Because, no, not them. So Heidi was dating and is now married to
Spencer
Pratt.
Yes.
Yeah. So they were called Spidey. Because they were kind of
Spencer
seen,
and Heidi. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. That's boy. That
they were
really
seen in the gossip ecosystem as like kind of enemies, or they made this nickname Spidey, Spencer and Heidi. And it's funny because they're still together today. So I don't know.
Good
who,
for
who
them.
Gets the last laugh.
Good for them. okay, so you've got The Hills, Laguna Beach, and The Real Housewives, particularly Salt Lake City. Two more.
Yes, I hate to say this. Just for lots of other reasons, but I think Keeping Up with the Kardashians
it
has to be included. Those early seasons of the Kardashians too, again, kind of going back to the media train conversation, like they were not really media trained and didn't really know what they were doing. And it really was kind of like this like chaotic family dynamic. They live in this place called Calabasas. What is Calabasas? And I think that show is so influential in our culture. I mean, beyond obviously reality television, the Kardashians like are not even reality stars anymore. That's like just a side gig, you know, at this point. So I can't not mention the Kardashians.
I get it. I feel like you could start talking about the Kardashians and never stop talking about them. It is a uniquely fascinating, truly American story. And it the wrinkles just never stop. I also think it's fairly interesting and worth pointing out that I'm pretty sure all of the shows you've discussed, if you take the entire Real Housewives franchise, The Hills with what's her name that was married to the quarterback, Cutler.
Oh, I just saw a post from her how she doesn't believe in sunscreen. which is a separate thing. Her name, Kristen Cavallari.
Kristen Cavallari.
She said she doesn't believe in sunscreen. That's a new development.
That's a great stance.
I saw that yesterday on TikTok.
I appreciate that kind of insane stance. Just go with something like that. Just be the person that goes, I don't believe in sunscreen. I love that.
She said she doesn't wear it.
You listen, everybody, you should wear sunscreen. But I appreciate the audacity to do something that stupid.
Yes.
She was married to Cutler. And then the show you just mentioned, which is, again, the name of it has just slipped my mind. Oh, the Kardashians, obviously. All three of those are touching the world of sports in a way, a significant way, I'd say.
Yes, 100%. And then I think my fourth one, it's not sports, but it feels like sports, is Survivor. Survivor is like the OG game show, anthropological study at how humans interact with other humans through mind games, competitive physical challenges, relationships building, falling apart. I love Survivor and the fact that it's still on. And they really have not changed the format. I mean, real true Survivor fans will probably come and correct me on that. But when I watch new seasons of Survivor, it feels very similar to the old seasons. Like in terms of the challenges, they bring back old challenges. Like it feels like a similar show and they haven't tried to turn it into something that it's not.
Yes.
And I'm just fascinated by how people like interact, become the like villains on the show, the people that are loved on the show, voting people off. I mean, what a like crazy dynamic that's at play. And I just feel like they're never going to stop doing Survivor. It just feels like it's never going to end.
I really appreciate your Mount Rushmore. You did not include a television show that I don't want to you know react too quickly, and I don't want to be a you know captive of the moment. I don't want to be biased by the fact that it's going on now and that it just had a gigantic moment. But I was surprised that you did not have Vanderpump Rules on your Mount Rushmore.
Okay, I'm going to say something that's controversial, maybe a confession. I have never watched Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, my God.
I'm literally shocked. I know. I have started that pilot probably four times.
Wow.
And it is, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I know Lisa Vanderpump from Real Housewives land.
Right.
I just don't care about the drama. And I know there's a lot of drama. I have read a lot about the drama. I'm well-versed. But the actual show itself, I don't love the format. I don't need to see a bunch of bartenders yelling at each other.
It doesn't work. They do that Jax guy. I don't know his last name.
Yes.
I know his first name is Jax. He seems to really get it. He knows what he's doing. He's like the perfect mix of, I know exactly how reality television works and what I need to do for this thing to succeed. And also, I'm oblivious to how bad I might be coming off in this moment because I'm a guy and that's the way we are. And so I'm just going to be who I am in this moment. And so it's this really lovely mix, him in particular. And then, of course, this like Scandoval thing, which I know a little bit about, but don't know everything about, but my wife and I are trying to get caught up on it all. All fascinating content. And I do have to admit that as I watch Vanderpump, I do go, boy, this is expertly made. I think, again, the early seasons I don't remember as well. I don't remember my wife being into, but it did seem to enter into a real phase of success here as the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know people rave about it, and I probably should watch it for my own Bravo research, but I can't get into it. I prefer the sports gossip.
Truly shocked. Truly shocking development.
I know.
At the top of this podcast. are there sports gossip stories right now that you're really into? So anything cooking?
Yes.
What is it that you're excited about telling your followers about?
There is a story that I just wrote about recently out of Australia. I don't know if you've heard about this rugby team drama unfolding.
No.
There is a rugby team, I believe they're called the Brisbane Lions, and they're a professional rugby team. And they went on a trip to America as a team. I think they went to Austin, some other places. And allegedly, a group of team members decided to go to Vegas while they were on the trip.
Right.
And allegedly may have done some things that were not appropriate if you're in a relationship. And one of the players, apparently, accidentally synced his WhatsApp group chat with all of the rugby players on his iCloud that is shared with his partner in Australia. So while they're in Vegas, the partner is seeing the messages unfolding about the antics that they're getting up to in Vegas. And obviously it caused chaos on the team, not only personally, and apparently from what I've read of these Australian outlets, like some of the players have broken up or with their partners since this trip. But it's also caused issues on the team. And to the point where they've had like the front office get together for like a crisis management session because now the team is playing poorly. And so there's been all these issues now, not only off the field, but on. It's causing like problems in games, apparently. And they're not playing very well since this trip.
When you meet a professional athlete and you see them like talking about how their fucking car isn't working or about how they've got a fucking hangnail or something, you go, oh, right. Like, you've got all the same problems that I have. But I also expect you to literally perform in front of me live and be flawless on top of that. And it's funny to think about syncing your WhatsApp and that obviously affecting team chemistry, because if you're the moron that synced your WhatsApp and outed all of these guys to this person, of course they're going to look at you and be like, you're an idiot. Why would I pass you the ball or whatever you do in rugby? I don't even know. But why would I trust you? You're an idiot. I hate you. You couldn't even figure out WhatsApp. Like, of course that's going to end up affecting the team.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's just funny to me because apparently this trip happened like last, I think, October. Mm. And this story is just now coming out because they were like kind of trying to keep it under wraps, I think, and trying to figure out what to do. And then now that the team is performing poorly, they're now like having a come to Jesus moment as an organization.
Right.
And like about what to do about the situation.
Fascinating.
And like the coach is involved. It's a whole thing.
That's
so that one is like of interest as of late. Of course, I'm fascinated by the Jonte Porter betting scandal as well, which is just to me hilarious, whether
super
he did it or not. It's like
super
so
funny.
Bizarre. I'm like, really? You thought like, I mean, again, all alleged, but like if he did do it, like really? You thought that like you being the number one, like most valued bet, I don't know, betting of the night, that was going to go away
not
in silence
flags.
And no one would know about it, not raise any flags? You're not Kevin Durant. Like, it's just, anyways, that's another one that I'm fascinated by.
Very funny. I feel like Jonte Porter, and I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to be like the guy that acts like he knows everything. I'm not. I know virtually nothing. I don't know anything about Jonte Porter. I know very little about that story. I mean, I've read a little bit about it. When I hear that and I think about Michael Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. having his like crazy like stances on things, like I don't fucking know exactly what Michael Porter Jr. said, but I feel like he said crazy shit about women and like fucking, you know, his politics are probably a little crazy. Anyways. When I see that and I think about being the younger brother of this guy who's more successful and he's, you know, making a ton of money and he's won a championship, in my head I'm like, Jonte Porter, is this a cry for help? Did you gamble on sports, on your own games, and have it be such an obvious and overt red flag that this is a cry for help? Do you need something? Should we all be looking out for Jonte Porter? That's the way I feel currently. And then when the Shohei thing happens, I go, oh, the sports gambling scandals are really just going to take off. I've recently seen that Shohei is completely indemnified. Is that not the case? Is he not? He had nothing to do with this. He was really getting screwed by his translator. Is that true?
Yes, I believe his translator allegedly stole $16 million from Shohei, which is crazy. But I also love that Ohtani is rich enough to not check his bank account to the point where he didn't realize that this amount of money was being taken out.
Insane.
But then the second thing that I have not really seen a ton of people talk about is, doesn't Ohtani have a business manager?
He's got to.
That's the person we should really be talking about in this story. Because the fact that his business manager was not noticing large withdrawals from his account, because my understanding, if you're at that level, have that amount of wealth, your business manager is in charge of your accounts, your finances, general accounting, that they would not be like having these things go unnoticed.
I think Mizuhara, I read the Times article on the Times sort of recap on this, because I was... Everyone has, at least the Times headline and whatever tweet I saw it in, sort of really made the case that that Shohei is free and clear of this. And I was like, well, now, wait a second. I'll be the judge of that, real smartass, know-it-all guy. So I read this article, and as you read it, I believe what Mizuhara did was, and I don't know how he pulls this off, I think what he said to the business manager, like his leadership team, his finance guys, was that Shohei wants this singular account to remain private, which I I guess if you're like a if you're as big of a celebrity and as wealthy as that guy is, if someone said, you know what, I need this specific thing to be private, you're probably not questioning it, right? Because you're this guy's very rich and very successful and huge and super hot right now. So like, are you going to be the guy that's like, hey, why is this thing private? I want to dig into this real quick, Shohei. Why don't we hop on a Zoom call? Like, you're not doing that. You're just going, cool, got it, whatever, totally get it.
Yeah, you know, that is probably true. And I will say, in my experience, like, I used to work in media, when you're dealing with talent, like, some, you know, you don't always necessarily want to speak up because you don't want to be fired.
That's right.
You know, and so I'm guessing that maybe the business manager, if that's true, was like, all right, I'm probably getting some percentage. I don't know how they do it. I think you get like a person, like a cut or something of how much you make. That maybe he was just like, I'm just going to let this one be. Just, I'm not going to say anything. But also, that's crazy. I'm like, this man signed a $700 million contract. Like, don't you want to know where the money's going? I mean, I don't know. It's just me. But I understand maybe why he didn't speak.
The Times article said, because you go, if you stole $16 million. And honestly, what can you do but take off your hat? If you can steal $16 million from someone, I say you get to keep the lion's share of it. That's what I'm saying. Mizuhara made, the Times article said, 19,000 sports bets. That's so many bets. 19,000 bets. I don't think I've made 19,000 like, hey, you want to bet on this, like me throwing the you know, this piece of garbage into the trash can. I don't think I've done that 19,000 times. Imagine wagering actual tender 19,000 times. That's insane.
It's crazy. And I think what I also think about is, I believe I was reading some of the text messages between him and the bookie, that he's texting the bookie to place his bets, I think is how it works. Yeah. I don't know. That I'm like, how many text messages is he sending about this? If it's 19,000 bets, I mean, aren't you sending at least one text per bet? Like, for that's a lot of texts. I feel like I text a fair amount, and I don't think I've sent that many texts in my life. You know, that alone, I'm like, what is his Verizon bill looking like? That's Does he have unlimited? Funny. Like, is it on a burner? That's what's going on?
Very funny, because that bookie has to text. I'm going to just for a moment presume that that bookie is married. That bookie must text his wife and Mizuhara all the time, all day long. It must be at the exact same level. A lot of fun to think about. The very quickly before I move on, I'd be remiss not to bring up Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Were you a big fan of their relationship and what happened during the NFL season?
Oh, yes. I'm fascinated by that. I wrote about it pretty extensively, maybe too much, in my newsletter. I'm fascinated by it because, to me, it's our version of the royal family. And like, this is our Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Right.
I would not say Prince William and Kate Middleton because I don't know what's going on with their relationship. Right. I hope she's doing okay. But to me, this is our America's prince and princess.
Really good.
In pop culture.
Yeah,
it's fascinating for so many reasons because, you know, I knew who Travis Kelce was in the football world, but to be honest, like, I didn't really know that much about him. Like, I had seen some of his reality show before, knew he had his podcast with his brother, all of that. But I think seeing him enmeshed in Taylor Swift's world and having like Haim sisters and like Taylor Swift's model friends at games is just like my perfect storm of content.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. And I fully believe that like they're down bad for each other and will eventually get married. I fully believe it. Because let me tell you, if you know anything about Taylor Swift's dating history previously to this, she was in a long-term relationship with Joe Alwyn, who is from the UK. And I feel like she's like, I'm over these pasty boys from the UK. She's like, I want like an American like football man. He's really tall. He seems like he protects her. Like when they're going out, he almost looks like one of her security guards. Whereas Joe Alwyn, famously, there would be paparazzi photos where they're like running to get into a car and he's like dragging her hand to the car while he's sprinting ahead. I'm like, he just like energetically, I'm like, she needed a change of pace from like these pale British men who have very low vitamin D levels. She was like, I need like an American football player boyfriend. And I think they work well. She seems very comfortable around him, at least from what you can see, you know, online.
Yeah, like the videos I'll see of them, I look at them and I go, and hey, call me a softie. I look at them and go, I think they're in love. Like they, yes. they the things they do are the things you do when you're like in love with someone. And so what can you do but be like, oh, that's lovely. Good for them. Like, oh, congratulations. Mazel tov. That's the way I see it. Now, I will say they do cut to that lady all the time on the games. It doesn't affect me or my enjoyment because I'm not like a diehard, like super football guy, but they are cutting to that lady all the time. I do. If it were happening, if Travis Kelce played basketball, and if he played for the Lakers, I do wonder if I'd be complaining like an asshole. But because he plays for the Chiefs and I'll see maybe four Chiefs games in a season, doesn't really affect me. I'm totally fine with it. Keep cutting to her.
Yeah, well, and I think who loves it more than Roger Goodell? The NFL has such a bad PR problem that I'm sure the minute that they got word that Travis Kelce, one of their stars, is dating the biggest pop star in the world, many would argue, I'm sure they were like, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Thank God. We don't have to talk about CTE. We don't have to talk about how we're not punishing players for, like, domestic violence charges. Like, we have Taylor Swift now to distract from all of the other PR nonsense, which is, I think, why they do show her so much and why, like, the main NFL account has engaged in banter with, like, the Swiftie world, posting photos of them together. Like, they're clearly, like, this is, from a strategic perspective, is good for us. You know, so they're probably like, please make this relationship work.
The NFL
for all this free PR.
Whenever I think about the NFL, it is as a business. And again, I'm just going to, for a moment, remove CTE and concussions and all of the damage that is done in the sport. Let's just pin that for a second. I hope that everyone that plays the game is healthy and feeling good. And I hope that the changes that they've made matter. And I hope that they continue to make changes and continue to make the game safer and healthier. And I hope that everyone that's playing the game, particularly young kids, know the potential issues that you could have from playing football. So I don't want to sidestep that, but just for a moment, let's just appreciate the business of the NFL. It is exquisitely designed. They legitimately own a day, and now they're spreading out. The content is filmed beautifully. It is without peer in terms of the way the games are broadcast live. Though the people that put that product on television are artists of the highest order. The NFL is so effective and so good at what they do as a business standpoint. If you were to try and poke a hole through them, you'd go, well, they're going to start losing mothers, which means they're going to start losing sons and daughters to the game as kids in sort of the youth leagues. And then all of a sudden, Taylor Swift falls into their lap. What a windfall for Roger Goodell and the league to be able to hitch their wagon to Taylor Swift. My God, that is, I wish I were a fly on the wall to watch the NFL brass react to that news. It must have been huge.
Oh my God, I feel like they had to have worked some sort of voodoo magic, prayer circle meme to make this happen. And I mean, I know that they are just like, we will do anything in our power to have this woman still feel comfortable enough to want to attend games. Yes. I'm sure there's like the logistics to have her even go in the field was like, I'm sure, a whole ordeal. And I don't think that they would be putting in the effort to like make her feel comfortable enough to like want to go to multiple games, go to the Super Bowl, go to the playoffs, if they were not like invested in their relationship. Yeah. I mean, that's really like what it feels like. So, I mean, I think at this point, like they seem in it. They were just spotted at Coachella together. So I think, you know, if they're spotted at Coachella, you know, she has been before for Calvin Harris. I will say her ex-boyfriend a long time ago, but I'm like, she feels comfortable enough to be in like these crowded spaces with him that I don't know. I feel like they're in it for the long haul, but that's just me. Listen, if she doesn't want to get married, also her choice. She doesn't, no one has to get married, I do feel like they'll get married.
You mentioned the specificity. I do love specificity. You mentioned the specificity of the type of people she's also bringing to games. I turned on some game and she had Blake Lively there, which again, Blake Lively is, and I don't know Blake Lively or her husband. What's his face? Ryan Reynolds. I don't know them. hats off to them on their career. I hope they're happy and healthy. They seem to be funny on social media. Blake Lively is the exact type of celebrity. She's like just, I'd say, a tick off of like that, maybe that like A-list working actor. She's very successful in her own right. I don't mean to take anything away from her, but I did not presume that I was going to see Blake Lively at an NFL game. So seeing her and being like, oh yeah, that's what's her face. And then having to play that game, there is a little bit of fun in that for me. And then Blake Lively, have you ever seen the movie The Town?
Yeah, of course.
Blake Lively has that really funny read of when she says, I want to go with you. I don't have the audio on me now, but Rob, can you drop it in right here?
I don't want to stay. I want to go with you.
Thank you so much. That's one of my favorite reads in any movie because her Boston accent is, I wouldn't say it's like authentically Boston. And when she says that line, it really makes me laugh. Do you have any thoughts on the way she says, I want to go with you in the movie The Town?
I think what I think about Blake Lively in that movie is I just think of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I'm sorry. I know she's been in many other movies since then, but when I watched The Town for the first time, I was like, that's that girl who plays soccer in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Like, to me, she's just so California.
Yeah.
And to see her in that role, it was a choice. I think she worked in it. I think her accent could use a little work.
Yes.
But again, I'm not an actor, so, you know, I don't know what it takes to have an accent that's not yours in a movie. However, all I could think about watching her performance in that movie was Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, which is with America Ferrera, Alexis Bledel, and I'm forgetting the last person's name, but some other actress.
It's, what's her name? Is it, oh man, hold on.
It's
Amber Tamblyn. Is she in that?
Amber Tamblyn. Yes, she. Wow. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Wow.
Who's married really to David Cross, right? Or has
yes,
or is
used
with
to be
David
yes.
Cross. Used to be. Yes.
Boy, I really feel really good about pulling Amber Tamblyn. I was. If you
can
hear it, I was typing it into Google, but it did come up before the page loaded. I just want to be clear. I was able to pull that on my own. Okay. Let's before we dive into this Larsa Pippen Marcus Jordan fiasco / story, let's table set for our audience. Please name your favorite sport, your favorite team, and your favorite athlete of all time.
Oh God, that is such a hard question. Well, a favorite sport would be basketball.
Okay.
NBA.
All right.
Also love WNBA games as well.
Yes.
Didn't get more into that, I think, as many people are recently, which is awesome. Favorite team. I mean, I went to the University of Georgia. So even though it's not basketball, University
Holy
of Georgia,
go
football,
dogs.
Mark Richt era, now Kirby Smart era. I am a diehard college football fan, so I cannot not talk about my alum
does
connection.
Does the Georgia branding, the helmets, the colors, the logo, does that enhance your enjoyment of the sport of college football? How gorgeous the Georgia uniforms are.
Oh, I would say it 100% enhances the experience.
Yep.
And as someone who went there, the thing I was so fascinated by was what the players wore to class,
right?
Because they're all decked out. And I mean, I think most large SEC schools and other schools who have big football programs, they get sent a lot of Nike swag.
Yes.
And so they would all like color coordinate the days of the week, not every day, but a lot of days of what they're wearing to class. So it'd be like, oh, it's a gray sweatsuit
right.
day. And like they're wearing the outfit. I'm sure now it's even evolved further where
yeah.
they're, you know, getting dressed and styled for like their walk-in
right.
shots,
yes.
you know,
right.
Which definitely was not happening when I was going there. But I'm always fascinated by how they present themselves off the field. And they would always wear these like cool Nike sweatsuits. So if anyone from the University of Georgia is listening and can get me one of those,
yep.
I would be very appreciative.
Send one to me. I didn't go to Georgia, but I do love the branding. I'm big into logos and branding. I really appreciate it. Last week we did an episode on Caitlin Clark, and that let me talk about the Iowa Hawkeye logo and branding and that black and yellow, which I love. And Georgia might be right there. Two world-class brands. And branding from both of those schools.
Yes.
Georgia totally counts as your favorite team. All right. Favorite athlete of all time.
Okay. Well, this is maybe a bit shocking. And I'm going to say my favorite athlete, but then I'm going to say who really my favorite athlete
okay.
is. So my favorite athlete's LeBron James.
Okay.
I love him.
Yep.
I love his internet presence.
Yep.
I'm fascinated by his family and all of their own personal brands, the Bronny James piece, which is its own separate discussion, mm-hmm. whether he'll be drafted or not, you know, we'll see. A little Nepo baby action, I think, is working in his favor there. So love LeBron James on the court, off the court. I love him in movies. He's great. I'm fascinated by the brands that he starts. But I think even more specifically, who my favorite athlete slash player is the man behind the scenes who runs it all, is Rich Paul.
Yeah.
He is really, I would say, my favorite athlete, even though he is not a professional athlete, yeah. because he is playing the game. Like, he has totally, I think, changed the way we view professional athletes and the brands that they build. And I'm fascinated by the fact that not only is he dating Adele, which, love that, amazing. Great for my own content, yep. but also like the business investments that he's involved in, that he's gotten LeBron involved in, everyone else that he reps through Clutch Sports Group. Like, I am fascinated by Rich Paul, and I could watch 15 hours of a documentary about Paul.
I love that answer. I think I saw someone tweet that this Bronny James draft story will be Rich Paul's Apocalypse Now. Like, it will be like his tour de force. And I'm like, that is so funny and so right. And this, you bringing that up, the like a documentary about this, made me think of the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing. In that, do you know this like new trend in movies now where they'll go, like, maybe it started with, I don't know that this is right. It probably isn't right. But when the Facebook movie. What's the Facebook movie?
Social Network.
Brilliant movie. I absolutely love that movie. Damn near nothing happens in that movie, and I'm hanging off every word. I thought it was exquisitely written, exquisitely acted, and now I watch any movie about like any business thing. I've just watched the BlackBerry movie. I really enjoyed that. If you make a movie about a big giant business, like the founder, Michael Keaton, playing Ray Kroc for McDonald's, I'll watch that. And as we were talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I'd watch a movie on them getting together and this first season and through. I'd watch a movie on that thing because I'd want to see portrayals of how the league handles it, of how her people handle it, of how Travis and his family handles it. It'd be fascinating. And it's the same thing with LeBron, Rich Paul, the engineering of the league in terms of LeBron is literally on a basketball team. And his best friend is also his agent, and they rep guys that are in the league who then come and play for the Lakers. If I was a Lakers fan, I'd be livid. I'd be absolutely livid, but I am a Laker fan. He does play for my team, so I'm happy to ride with it. We won the title, 2020 most important championship in my lifetime. Hats off to him. So I say let him collude the back half of his career. I'm absolutely fine with it. I think that would make a great movie. I'd watch the hell out of it. Can I give you my prediction of what will happen with Bronny James?
Please.
Wherever the Lakers can, they are drafting him.
You think?
100%. Think about it, not from the LeBron James side or the Clutch side. Think about it from the Lakers side. The Lakers, when they gave Kobe that crazy last contract, they basically started the concept of saying the Los Angeles Lakers are a luxury brand. We are a luxury brand. We take care of our superstars. So if you are a superstar and you wanted to be treated like a superstar, come to the Los Angeles Lakers. That's what they said by giving Kobe that crazy deal. They bring LeBron James here. LeBron James is building his media empire. They are supporting Clutch Sports. The Lakers are. What better statement than from Jeannie Buss, the daughter of the great Dr. Jerry Buss, than to say, we will sign your child to play for the Lakers. We want that father-son moment to be in purple and gold, from a daughter to her father, deceased father, father to his now son on the team. The Lakers are 100% signing Bronny James, and it is a business move, and I completely get it. Burn the pick. The Lakers find Austin Reeves for nothing. Burn the pick wherever it is. I presume it'll be an early second round pick if they've got it. They're taking Bronny James 100%.
Wow. I mean, I think maybe you've convinced me. I really thought he was going to get picked by like a bad team and LeBron's going to go play for some random team. But that, honestly, I think from a narrative perspective makes more sense. And also would be, if there was a Pulitzer Prize for drafts, Jeannie Buss would get it if she drafted Bronny James for the Lakers.
The story alone, the pictures alone will go crazy. Like, do you know how many James Jr. jerseys they're going to sell? Like, this is a no-brainer, guys. Give him a two-way deal this is like very, very easy. This is 100% a business move. It's not that big of a deal. Like, the team it's not like the team is moving rookies into, you know, meaningful positions. I mean, Austin Reeves did, but now he's sort of taken that slot. The rookie guys aren't you know, really mattering on these teams, on the Lakers team currently. So give the guy the pick, get the story, make the ovation to the James family and to literally every star coming after him. Luka Doncic is the guy that you got to keep your eye on. To me, if the Mavericks don't make a deep run this year, you've got to start wondering whether Luka's staying in Dallas. I think he's going to look west. I want him on the Lakers. That's what I do. I'm the dark web Woj. I'm willing to say whatever I have to say to get my favorite players on my team.
I mean, it's all about manifesting and making it happen. That's right. So you never know.
That's exactly right. All right, let's dive into our moment. We have to decide whether Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan and Pippen part two, the sequel, whether it goes into the first ballot Hall of Fame. To do that, we have to go through our Hall of Fame credentials. Those are the categories by which we judge our moment. Now, this is a moment that I know, to be very frank, I know very little about. I know who the participants are. I know who they are related to. And I know that they were in a relationship. I do not know much other than that. I want you to walk me through it. So before we dive into our credentials, tell me a bit about the history of Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan.
Happy to. So a few years ago, I was scrolling online and I came across my favorite news source of all time, which is TMZ. Right. And I saw a story that Marcus Jordan was spotted going on a date or was dating Larsa Pippen. And at the time, I was like, there's no way that this Marcus Jordan is the same Jordan right. from the Chicago Bulls. Right. I thought he was maybe like just some random rich guy right. from Miami. He was not just some random rich guy from Miami. He was, in fact, a Nepo baby of, that's right. you know, the GOAT of basketball, Michael Jordan. And immediately my interest was piqued because, as you know, Larsa Pippen, or if your reader or listeners do not know, she used to be married to Scottie Pippen. And obviously, Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan were teammates on the Bulls. So I'm sitting there being like, there's no way this story is real.
That's the same. I presumed it was like a social media thing they were using to like drum up excitement about each other.
So did I, until she posted on her Instagram a Valentine's Day post calling Marcus Jordan her forever Valentine. Oof. And that was, I believe that was last year. And it's on the beach. And I'm going, okay, this is for real. I mean, I have so many questions. Number one, is Michael Jordan the best man at this wedding?
Right.
Number one. Number two, is Scottie Pippen attending the wedding? Are they kind of consciously uncoupled like Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin? And that they're friends and that Scottie Pippen's going to show up? If Scottie Pippen shows up, is he seated at the same table with Michael Jordan? Are they kind of rekindling the friendship? Right. Like, what's going on there? Also, has Marcus Jordan met Scottie Pippen? I mean, so many questions.
Marcus Jordan, of course, has to have met Scottie. I just want to, for a moment, I'm sorry to jump in as you're doing this, but you could make a very easy argument that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen are the greatest 1-2 punch in NBA, in basketball history. Screw the NBA. In all of basketball history, you could make the argument that those two guys and their pairing was the best 1-2 punch in the history of the sport.
Yes. I mean, I would say that that is accurate. And I don't know if people would say that the Marcus Jordan Larsa Pippen is the greatest 1-2 relationship duo in sports, but maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe that's up for debate also. But it's just crazy to me to imagine, even them being famous or not, could you imagine if you got divorced in a world and your ex-wife started dating your ex-coworker's son?
Oh my God.
In real life. I mean, that alone is insane. But then adding in the fact that it's two of the most famous basketball players and arguably the most famous dynamic duo of all time makes things very complicated.
Would it make it any better? and I don't know the answer to this. This is a sincere question. Would it can they do that? Because like, here's the thing I want to say quickly, and I feel like Madeline, you likely agree with me generally speaking, at least on the surface. I'm like, date be with whoever you want to be with. I couldn't care less who anybody wants to date. It has no bearing on me whatsoever. Mazel tov. If it makes you happy, congratulations. I'm completely fine with it. This one, it is very particular. This one certainly has some very interesting edges that you have to fit. If they had kept their relationship like extremely private and discreet, and it wasn't like a social media thing, does that make it any better or easier? Can they date? Could these two people date? Does it make it any better if they date, but it's like not like a public thing and they're posting pictures and on the beach and Forever Valentine and all that stuff? Does that make it any better?
I think it makes it worse if they were secretive because I think they both need the public expression of their love, except right. We'll get to the fact they've broken up. So there's that, which we'll get to. I think that they both needed the public piece of their relationship, and it would have been weirder if it was never addressed publicly on right. their respective social media right. platforms. That it's like it needed to be solidified that, yes, we are dating.
Yeah.
And then it became a plot line on The Real Housewives of Miami, which Larsa Pippen stars in.
Oh, I didn't even realize also, she's on that show. Oh, I had no
she's
idea.
On the, she's a housewife. And then they also went on that show that I am now blanking, The Traitors. You know that new,
no.
It's a new reality show where it started in the UK and you basically like are voting people off. And there are traitors who get to kind of decide who's voted off every week, but it's in secret and you're trying to figure out who's a traitor. Anyways, they went on this last season. It's a very famous season, not even necessarily because of them, but, so I highly recommend watching. So they're very public about their relationship. And I think that they both needed it for their own personal brands to be public about it. And it would have been even stranger if they never talked about it, never posted anything, maybe only like a hand in the corner of a photo right. once in a while. I don't think would have worked for them.
So you just mentioned that they're broken up, which I did not know. How long do you ballpark? How long were they together?
I think, I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was like 2 years.
Okay. That's a not insignificant period of time. Yeah. It makes me feel like the 2 years, like to me, if it was like a year, I don't know, maybe I'm going to actually recant this.
I think it was two. I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was like 2 years.
I'm going to recant this. I think 2 years is still 2 years feels like the amount of time a marketing Svengali would say, if you're going to do this whole fake relationship, you have to do it for at least 2 years to throw everybody off your scent that this thing is completely fake. Is there any world where this thing was always completely fake, completely to drum up engagement and clicks and followers, and this is all a big to-do about nothing?
I don't think so. I think it was real. I think because it was so strange, I don't know in what world they would be doing this to benefit themselves. I mean, yes, it did bring more press to both of them, but I think it was real. I think it was. I think that they're maybe a little self-centered and, you know, they're influencers after all. So they like to post about things online. So that may have something to do with it. But I do think that it was a real relationship.
And it
it was a strange one, but yeah, I think it was real.
It became, did it become a part of the storyline of Real Housewives of Miami, you said?
Yes, I believe the relationship did. I have not watched a ton of the Miami franchise,
right.
But I do believe it did. And they also kind of made it part of their brand. And like I said, they went on The Traitor. So they've been doing a lot of like publicly facing things as a couple, as a duo. And they've talked about their relationship and like, you know, the fact that they have famous last names and, you know, where those came from and how those affect their dynamic. So they definitely like play into it.
Is there any world where you think these two lovebirds get back together?
Yes, 100%. They, as of a couple weeks ago, I checked this before our record, that so they broke up officially, allegedly, like 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
And now they're kind of throwing shade at each other on social media because, of course.
Right.
To me, it all feels like fodder for the next season of Real Housewives of Miami. But who knows? I mean, could be wrong. But they have said that they've broken up for good. But I mean, even a month or so before they said they broke up for good, they were spotted on Valentine's Day getting flowers together when they said they were on a break. So it's like, We'll see. I think that they'll eventually get back together. Will they stay together forever? I don't know. But
love endures.
We might get another season out of their relationship. I will say that.
Love endures. That's what I want the people to know. So you can't put these rules, these binds on a true loving relationship. What is the percentage chance you think these two get married? And this doesn't need to be high. I want your honest opinion. What is the percentage chance you believe Larsa Pippen ends up marrying Marcus Jordan, which is Michael Jordan's second eldest son? I can't believe I'm saying this.
I would say, objectively, if I had to put a number to it, I would say maybe around 30% likelihood.
Okay.
I would say the number might increase if they got a People magazine exclusive coverage of the wedding. I think the number would go up even higher if they got a Vogue wedding exclusive.
Right.
I think maybe that would up it to 50-45% chance that it might happen.
Got
maybe
it.
Even higher if it's Vogue.
Listen, Vogue, if you or you know, whichever magazine might be out here with a little bit of money in their pockets to burn, you could throw some money at Larsa and Mike or Marcus Jordan and get one hell of a cover out of this.
Exactly.
It is fascinating to think about. Do Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, do they go to that wedding? I think if you're Michael Jordan, I think you have to, don't you?
I think he already said that he would go to the wedding.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I listened to an interview with Larsa and Marcus, and I'm pretty sure from what I remember, Marcus said that Michael Jordan would be at the wedding, and I believe he even said that he would be his best man.
I could
be wrong, but he at least would be attending, which means he'd be giving a speech. As the father of the, at least at the rehearsal dinner, that's, I think, typically protocol.
I think.
You know, like the groom's family gives a speech.
Yes, yes.
At some point during the weekend.
The rehearsal dinner.
Like, is it going to be kind of like a game 7 flu game type speech that he's giving? Like, you know, a pep talk to this couple? I mean, I would pay so much money to attend that wedding and that speech.
I think the play is, I've just thought about this, so please. Give me some grace here, but I do think this is the play. If you're Scottie Pippen and the mother of your children, including Scottie Pippen Jr., who's in the league, used to play for the Lakers, now plays for the Grizzlies, I believe. If you want to go to this wedding because your children's mother is getting remarried, your children are likely to be there, I presume. And so you want to be there. If you sit with Michael Jordan on the groom's side, I think that would be a lovely way to massage this moment and be the bigger person. Your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that would be fantastic. Yeah. And I would need the photo evidence to prove that happened.
Yeah.
But yes, no, I think that would be amazing.
There's no chance on God's green earth that someone doesn't pull out their cell phone and take a picture of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan at this wedding. It's if it happens, and listen, we can all dare to dream. If it happens, we'll get that photo. I don't want to deal in just pure unadulterated gossip, but this story is too, this idea, this concept is too good to look past. We have to talk about this. The we have a credential on the show called You Mad. Rob, play my camera on clip here.
You mad.
Thank you so much. I love it when someone's pissed off. It really elevates a moment. I really appreciate it when it's, generally speaking, if it's like an old person that's really mad. I enjoy that. Has anybody been outwardly, publicly really mad about these two dating? Has Scotty or Michael or kids, has anyone come out and been like, this is total bullshit. Why is she doing this? Why is he doing this? Is anybody mad about this situation?
It doesn't really seem to be the case. There's been a couple clips I've seen of Michael Jordan being asked by paparazzi what he thought about the relationship and kind of gave a couple comments. But there has not been any like overtly angry response. I think most people, I mean, maybe in their family might think differently, but I think at least most people online are like just fascinated by this relationship and the dynamic and obviously the history of the relationship. So I would say if anyone's maybe mad, I feel like it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Of anyone. I don't feel like it's Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen gets mad about other things, but I don't think he would be mad about this. Whereas I feel like Michael Jordan just energetically knowing him through The Last Dance and just knowing him online. Like, I just feel like he would be bothered by it and have something to say.
I don't exactly know why I feel this way, but when I think about Michael Jordan being mad, because I agree with you, like, Jordan's a fiery competitor. I feel like him getting mad about something is a very short trip. As I think about Michael Jordan potentially being mad about this, I go, wait a minute. This is like a father's son. Like, I'm pissed off at my kid for doing this stupid thing. And I go, all of a sudden it makes me go, whoop, hands off. Like, I lean away from the microphone and go, that's his business. If he wants to be mad at this guy, I feel like I'm not going to add that sort of anger to the candidacy of this moment for the first ballot Hall of Fame here. The other thing before, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, as we keep talking about Scottie Pippen, I just want to mention the fact that as Scottie Pippen's look has continued to evolve, it does remind me of the very famous tweet when someone said that Scottie Pippen is starting to look more and more like Chester Cheetah from the Cheetos bag, which I think is always worth bringing up.
I love Twitter, and that is truly why I will never delete the app, is for comments like that. Yeah.
He really does. It's again, it's worth discussing here. Listen, if this moment didn't include a world-class basketball player who kind of looks a little bit like Chester Cheetah as he gets older, it would be lesser of a moment. But we get to use his resemblance to Chester Cheetah, the cartoon Cheetah from the Cheetos bag. We get to use that and add it to this moment, and maybe that improves its candidacy for the first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the type of stuff we care about here at the show. Analytics. Let's move to our next credential. Analytics. Here's some numbers behind this moment. The numbers I guess are interesting are Marcus Jordan is currently 33 years old and Larsa Pippen is currently 49 years old. I say, who cares? That to me feels like a negligible difference. Does the age difference between these two matter at all? Or are we past that as a people?
I don't feel like the age difference matters that much. I mean, maybe if it was like a 25-year age difference or something like that, it may raise a couple more red flags. But no, I don't feel like the age difference matters here. And in fact, I feel like is almost irrelevant and to the bigger story about the fact that the Pippen-Jordan connection is what is so bizarre.
So crazy. Let's move to our next credential then. It's called the Test of Time. This is when we compare this moment against other moments like it in history. Madeline, do you have are there other world-class sports gossipy moments and stories that you can put up against this? I mean, what we're doing here at the show is we're deciding, is this enough of a sports moment? Is there enough entertainment? Is there enough humor? Is there enough badassness, for lack of a better term, in this moment to put it into the first ballot Hall of Fame? And it makes me go, well, let's look back at other sort of sports gossipy moments and compare them, because I don't know how many I'm going to put in the first ballot Hall of Fame. So we have to decide if this one sticks its nose out at the tape here, or if there is some serious competition that might be better than this moment. Are there other sports gossip moments that you really adore and love and hold close to your heart?
Oh, yes. One of my favorites, and probably one of the most iconic ESPN breaking news moments, is the Tiger Woods scandal. What year was that? 2006?
Yes.
Maybe even earlier, somewhere around
then.
Yeah. With the wife banging the windshield with the golf club. To me, I have such a visceral memory of them cutting into that while I was watching SportsCenter or some ESPN program, that to me, that is like maybe not the most iconic, but I would say it's up there. And I do feel like that this story fits into that same category. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this is even in maybe other ways a little bit more iconic, given the somewhat recently discussion around The Last Dance. I mean, that was in 2020. You know, that I feel like if that had maybe not happened, I don't know if I would put it in the same category as sports gossip scandals like the Tiger Woods scandal. But I think because of the relevancy, it feels like it deserves to have a spot.
I really appreciate that answer. There's something about Tiger Woods, and then I guess OJ as well. I don't know why I'm making this comparison. It might not be worth the time, but I'm gonna push forward. I read Watchmen. Do you know the Watchmen? The graphic novel. Mm-hmm. I read the Watchmen as a kid, college or something, and I read it and I was like, it's fine. It's okay. And my brother was like, yeah, but you don't get it. Before Watchmen, it was like Superman, saving kids from a burning building, and it was like all shit like that. Like, Watchmen was the first one. Like, you can't understand how different it was in the time, because now all you know is dark portrayals of Batman, et cetera, but this is like the precursor to those things. And I go, oh, that's cool. That's nice perspective to realize. And I feel like when I look back at Tiger Woods and OJ, because there wasn't this insane 24-hour news cycle and people walking around with really nice cameras in their pocket and recording their entire lives, when they broke in with OJ and when they broke in with Tiger Woods, it was like, holy shit, I can't believe this thing is happening. It was completely different. And now if you're bathed in the fires of Rihanna, as Solomon, Missouri put it once, it's all of this stuff is like old hat to you now a little bit. But when I was younger and to that Tiger Woods news dropped and that OJ news, you're just like, I cannot believe it. It was earth shaking.
Yes. No, it has shattered my world. So that's why, to me, I feel like it deserves a spot.
Do you know the story? Do you know the Tony Parker cheating on Eva Longoria? Do you know that old chestnut?
Yes, I'm familiar with that story. Yes.
Again, the inclusion of a celebrity in that Eva Longoria range, I just find that to be really fascinating. I think it was like Brent Berry's wife too. So he cheats with a teammate's wife on a, at the time, gigantic celebrity, and now that sort of fringe, just off the A-list celebrity. Fascinating to think about. That story really makes me laugh. That's teammates at the time. So you know, if that Tony Parker story is as good as this Marcus Jordan, I don't know. Maybe Marcus. It's a lot to decide here when we're gonna decide whether to vote and put this thing in the First Ballot Hall of Fame. The other one I want to bring up. Do you know the story of Tony Braxton and the Mavericks?
No.
Do you know Tony Braxton? Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Of course.
Tony Braxton. I this is all I know, and I only know it because Jimmy Jackson, who used to play for the Mavericks and who also went to Ohio State University. He's from Toledo. I'm from Toledo. Jimmy Jackson is our chosen son. Jimmy Jackson is the best basketball player to ever come out of Toledo. He's phenomenal. The city loves him. Jimmy Jackson forever. Jimmy Jackson went and played for the Dallas Mavericks. Jimmy Jackson was teammates with Jason Kidd and Jamal Mashburn at the time. And the story was that Tony Braxton went from dating one of those guys, I think Jason Kidd, to then dating Jimmy Jackson, or vice versa, it doesn't matter. But again, Tony Braxton, perfect like random celebrity name to mix into an NBA story of current teammates. It's strange that there's enough of these type stories. Like I hear Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen, I go, oh my God, that's crazy. But then I go, oh wait, Tony Braxton existed and Tony Parker existed. If there's a lot of infidelity with current, with actual teammates at the time as well to consider here.
Oh yeah. There's too many stories to count. And another one that I just remembered, it's not related to infidelity, but it is related to a recent kind of shocking NBA pairing. Jalen Green from the Rockets,
right,
is 21, 22 years old. And he is having a baby with a woman named Drea Michele, who used to be on Basketball Wives. Yes. I cannot remember who she was married to, but she was married to a basketball player. She is, I think, 39, 40. Again, age difference, yeah. It's a little extreme, right. But, you know, whatever, all good. It's the fact that she has a kid who is the same age as Jalen Green. Yeah, and that is, I think, another interesting one. She's like an influencer, you know, and has a brand that I don't know how legitimate the brand is, right. But she does have some business ventures. But to me, that's another fascinating one. I don't know if I would say it's as crucial to the sports gossip universe as the Pippen Jordan drama, but I do think it's a similar one that's been happening currently. That is also bizarre. So there are a lot of these strange stories in the NBA.
Here's a throwback. Have you ever heard the Cal Ripken one? The Cal Ripken, Kevin Costner one?
I feel like yes, I have.
I don't know. Here's the thing. I would say this, the Cal Ripken, Kevin Costner one, which again, to my knowledge, the story is that Kevin Costner had an affair with Cal Ripken Jr.'s wife. And they maybe Cal found them, but anyways, it leans into the streak that Cal had going. Like Cal couldn't fight Kevin Costner or some shit because he had the streak going, so he had to go to the ballpark so he missed the game. And this is what I want to say about the Cal Ripken Kevin Costner story. And it's the same thing with the Wade Boggs 107 beers. There's a story that Wade Boggs, former Red Sox and New York Yankee third baseman, drank 107 beers on a cross-country flight. I go, I don't care what the truth is. I'm happy to just go with the legend. I think the legend is funny. It's additive in these moments. And the veracity, the truth of these stories is not really, for me, germane to whether a moment like that can get into the first ballot Hall of Fame. I like the legend. I appreciate the legend. So my hat's off to Cal Ripken Jr. and Kevin Costner, who I presume probably don't even know each other, but we're all believing that there was some sort of affair there.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I have no doubt.
We're going to move on to the X Factor. Everybody knows what an X Factor is. Is there an X Factor in Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen? Is there an X Factor in this relationship that might boost this moment's candidacy for the first ballot Hall of Fame? Anything else in this story worth discussing?
I think to me, it's, if anything, it's the amount of social media posting that they have done as a pairing that to me, I think is that X factor and the kind of banter back and forth they had with each other when they were dating. And then also when they were on a break, they were kind of being passive aggressive towards each other on their Instagram stories. And Larsa Pippen was posting inspirational quotes. I don't know, as a way to get back at him or show that she's an independent woman without him. That I do feel like that is the X factor. Their dynamic, not only as a couple, but then their dynamic as a couple on their respective social media accounts.
We have a credential on the show called Twitter Fingers, where we go through any famous tweets about this moment. We also have a credential called the comment section, where I go through generally Reddit. There was such a deluge of comments and tweets about this, and they all veer from general commentary to seemingly virulent anger and hatred towards these people, that I didn't even pull any of these for this episode, because there is an absolute rainstorm of commentary on these two and their relationship on social media. I get it. I get why it's interesting. We're talking about maybe the best 1-2 punch of all time. One of their ex-wives and one of their sons. They for sure had birthday parties and shit together as kids. That is wild to think of. Truly, genuinely wild. It feels, again, like another call for help. I hope that Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen are getting everything they need in their lives. And find someone that make them happy. And if it's them, if it's each other, my God, please just let Vogue be there so they can take the pictures. We need that covered.
And invite me to the wedding.
Yes.
That's all I ask. Madeline, that's all I ask here.
Would it break
Come
you?
On.
Would it break you to let Madeline sit in the
Come
back?
Come on, just
pew?
One seat.
My
I don't
God.
Need a plus one. My husband doesn't even need to come. Just me. Just let me be there.
Let her write about it on an impersonal file.
Come on.
It'll help.
Exactly.
My God. All right. Let's move on to the cosign. Madeline, the floor is yours. Listen, I want you to treat this with respect. You got to consider all these other great sports gossip stories. Does Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan belong in the first Bell Hall of Fame, and why?
I think without a doubt, the Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan dating saga 100% deserves a space in the Hall of Fame. And here's why. Not only is this a story about basketball, but it's a story about reality television. Mm-hmm. It's a story about the media.
Yeah.
It's a story about how these two are presenting themselves online as influencers.
Yeah.
And the conversion of all of these different interests,
yep,
to me is what solidifies their place in history.
Yeah.
Because if this was just some random, I don't know, like let's say Marcus Jordan didn't have a public Instagram account and Larsa Pippen maybe only had 20,000 followers, was not on The Real Housewives, she didn't have all these other publicly facing ventures, I don't know if I would say that it deserves a spot. But I think because they are so enmeshed in so many other aspects of pop culture beyond just the sports connection that they obviously have, to me, that's what solidifies their space.
A great answer, Madeline. You've done a fantastic job on the show. I really appreciate you teaching me about these two and their relationship. I agree with you. It's time for the induction speech. I get to decide whether this thing goes in. It's my Hall of Fame. Listen, I appreciate Madeline being on the show. I thank her for doing. I thank her for bringing her wisdom and her insight and her wit to this conversation. But again, it's my Hall of Fame. I get to make the decision. I'm going to take everything she said into account. And I do think she's exactly right. As I think about the situation, it makes me go back to Tony Parker and I go, I know generally that Tony Parker cheated on Eva Longoria, but that's kind of all I know. I think it was Brent Berry, but if that kind of that relationship happened at a different time, I don't remember if social media was up at the time, but at bare minimum, it wasn't the absolute monster that it is today. This never ending coal burning steam engine that it is today. So whatever happened between Tony Parker and Eva Longoria, Brent Berry perhaps, and his wife, whatever happened with them, I don't really know the details, but I now know the details of Marcus Jordan and Larsa Pippen, and I think it is because of this insane convergence of social media influencing celebrity basketball, reality television. It does feel like this relationship marks a turning of the page and a new world for sports and sports adjacent stories. I couldn't agree with you more. That said, I want to be in as a person and as a representative of the First Ballot Hall of Fame podcast and organization, I want this show and myself to be behind love. I believe that maybe these two were in love for like exactly two calendar years, and that wasn't some deal made on paper. I want to believe that they love each other and that they, despite being close to 20 years separated in age, I want to believe that their love is real and true, and I want to support that as a man, as a First Ballot organization. And so I will say with respect, while this story is without question a great sports moment and you've presented it beautifully, I'm going to say with respect, because I believe they were in love, this is not going into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. It is their personal relationship, and I am honoring what I believe is their true loving relationship for damn near exactly 2 years. That's what I'm saying. Are you livid with me, Madeline, or do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. While we can agree to disagree, and I'll write 10,000 word email response to you as to why you're wrong, I do respect the stance. So I will let it stand.
I think what's become very, very obvious in this hour-long conversation about this is that everyone should be subscribed to Impersonal Foul, Madeline's Substack, her weekly gossip and culture newsletter. It's fantastic. How else can people follow you? What can you plug?
You can follow me on Twitter, which is X, which I refuse to call it, at @Mad_Hill. You can also follow The Impersonal Foul on Instagram for more sports gossip nonsense. And yes, please subscribe to the newsletter at impersonalfoul.com.
I really enjoyed talking to you about all this stuff. And what does that say about me? Does that say something about me that like I can get into like the gossipy stuff? What does that say about me?
I think it definitely says that. And I think at the end of the day, all sports news in general is just gossip. Yeah. And that's a conversation for another day.
Yes.
But I think every Woj tweet that I read is just work gossip.
Yep.
And I'm just getting the gossip.
Work gossip.
And whether people want to fight me on it or not, everything in sports is just gossip. And so, of course, you're interested in the story because it's just another piece of gossip. It just happens to be off the court.
Boy, I really like that. You're exactly right. It really is. It's just all work gossip.
It's work gossip. It's about a company we don't work for that you're all of the tea
That's right. And you go, and it's like, for some reason, we can all as fans go, yeah, but I love this team. And I have this baseball hat that I wear all the time and this old t-shirt from when I was a kid that I still wear. And you act like that somehow makes it different. Seinfeld once said, I think it was on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. He talked about the Real Housewives and the UFC are weights on the same barbell. Like, you can act like you're a sports guy and you don't care about this gossipy stuff, but you're right. It is basically all just gossip. It's work gossip.
It's gossip. It's work gossip.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
I really like that. You're exactly right. Okay, I don't feel so bad now. This is who I am, and that's fine. I'm a gossipy guy. That's what I am. I'm a little I like digging in on this stuff. Madeline, thanks again so much for being on the show. You were fantastic. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it. That's the show. Thanks to Madeline Hill for coming on. Support that woman, Impersonal Foul. Subscribe to her Substack. Appreciate women in sports, but more importantly, be there for them. It's important. Impersonal Foul. Impersonal Foul. Sign up for Impersonal Foul. Credits. Robert Arucci is my editor and partner. Jessica Seng is the captain of the ship. EJ Cabasal produces on the show. David Ostramskis is my Balls Life producer. Rhythm J, follow at Rhythm J on all social. He makes all the beats for the podcast. Rate and review us if you would, please. And come back next week for more First Ballot. Oh my God. I'm literally shocked.